They're the liberal rednecks. They like cornbread and butt sex. They care way too much but don't give a fuck. They're the liberal rednecks. That makes some people upset, but they got three big old dicks that you can suck.
Yeah.
Hey,
here we are.
Drew, before I start, because I have some things that I want to talk about, what I need to know is, since I had jury duty this morning, okay, we'll put that out there. Thank you. Since I wasn't on the jury because I got out of it while I was there, am I allowed to say what? Am I allowed to say a motherfucker's name that was on trial? Because it's really funny.
I think people being on trial is public record. Also, I can't possibly imagine how this would matter.
Yeah, I agree, but like people do be listening to our show, and I don't want to. I don't know. Like, yeah, like you said, like it. I mean, it was in the fucking newspaper.
Yeah, but what is it? You don't want consequences for yourself?
Yeah,
you don't
want to
like
out
this person. I can't imagine what consequences would be. Like, if somebody's on trial, you know, you're on trial.
Yeah, right. Okay. So I had jury duty. Now, I've had jury duty. This is my fourth time being summoned for it, but it's the first time I've ever went. The other three times, I legitimately had shit going on. We had shows. We were on the fucking View, or MTV Movie Awards, whatever. Literal contractual obligated things. And I always promised myself, I was like, even though I know I can get out of it, the next time I get it, and I don't have shit to do, I'm a go. That way, hopefully, and I've since been told that I don't think this is how it works. I was like, hopefully then they'll put me at the bottom of the list. And I, you know what I'm saying? Because like I felt like I kept getting called on multiple times because I kept telling them, nah. Is that how that goes?
I think if you reschedule, you stay at the top of the list.
Right.
I don't know about doing it, like putting you anywhere different than someone who just didn't get it. I don't know about that. But absolutely, if you say no, you stay at the top of their list.
Okay, I figured that was the case because I just kept getting it, and so many people I know have been like, I've literally never been called to do it one time in my life.
So why didn't you do it?
This time?
Yeah.
Well, I'm about to tell you. So I decided, I was like, I'm going to actually go, right? Well, and by go, I mean not try to get out of it by saying, hey, I've got something else going on. I absolutely tried to get out of it when I filled out my form. I think I may have texted y'all, but I filled out my form, and one of the questions, there were two questions, and I answered them truthfully, but I thought, surely to God, they're not going to want me on this jury. The first one was, what are your societal or religious affiliations? To which I put, liberal atheist, because I thought, well, no Georgia court wants my ass in there if I'm a liberal atheist. Then at the bottom, they said, is there any reason that you can give that you wouldn't be able to uphold the law? And I said, well, if it's a marijuana charge specifically, I cannot in good conscience send someone to jail for something that not only do I feel should be legal, but that I feel is used as a tool to imprison the disenfranchised. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, surely to God, dude, they ain't going to pick me. So
yeah,
I mean,
the prosecutor would the judge don't give a fuck about that, though.
Right. Yeah, I found that out. So I get in there and there's like, when you go through, you know, like there's different rounds. So like I go in and there's like 300 of us in a room and I'm thinking like, okay, I'm not going to make it past this round. They have seen that shit at the bottom and they're not going to call me. Well, I made it the top 60. I fucking make it. I'm like, God, Jesus Christ. First off, dude, we do shows and stuff, but I don't really go that much out in public since COVID. I have never been in a place where people were more violently coughing in my life. Like, if there were 300 people in that room, 50 of them have COVID right now. They have COVID. Like, these were not regular coughs. Like, they had to repeat some people's names that they were calling out like 10 times because they don't have a mic. There's some just old dude up there doing his best. And they would have to keep repeating it because there'd be somebody over here just, I mean, just fucking clearing their whole back of their throat out. So I make the top 60 and I go in there and I'm like, all right, surely I ain't going to get called. So then they're like, all right, we're going to do the first panel. And I'm like, okay, I know that's 12, right? So they call 12 people. I'm like, boom, not me, right? Well, then they go do a second panel. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Like, I still don't understand. And I'm going to have to ask you this after I tell you my thing, because I left before I found out exactly what all these panel means and if they all work directly. But here's the deal. They tell us who the defendant is, and it is a young black gentleman. And they call out his name, which is Michael Jackson. His name is Mike. It gets better. So the whole court laughs because that's funny. You know what I mean? Somebody named Michael Jackson, that's fucking hilarious.
Was he charged with beating it?
No, because I would have stayed for that. If it had been a white person named Michael Jackson, do you think that'd been funnier? I think it'd been funnier, right?
Michael Bolton is, never mind. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I was about to reference Office Space, and then you're both white, so I don't know what I was saying.
Yeah, no, it's fine. So his name is Michael Jackson. We're already kind of laughing about that. And then they go to talk about what it is that he did and why he's here today. And so then they read his full name, all three names. What do you think his full name is? My mama guessed it right the first time.
What?
My mama guessed it right the first time. It's actually way easier than you think.
Michael Jesse Jackson?
Uh-uh. You're on the right path.
Michael
though.
Jordan Jackson?
Michael Jermaine Jackson. one funnier. His full name is Michael Jermaine Jackson. Right? So we're laughing.
I almost said Janet, and I was like, nah. Yeah. And then I was all right, Jesse's the preacher, so he's named after two black icons. He's named after two people in the Jackson 5.
So they go through, they get 12 people.
Got
and
a
I
light-skinned friend named after Michael Jackson. Got a dark-skinned friend
after Michael Jackson. I just listened to that album front to back on my way home from Iowa. And, man, it is such a shame what Kanye West has done to himself, dude, because that album goes so fucking hard. There's that song. There's Jesus Walks. There's Through the Wire. There's what's
through the
All
wires.
Falls Down. No, it's not Through the Wire. It's not Through the Wire. You're right. It's All Falls Down, The One with Talib Kweli. Here's the features on that album.
Catch the Beat.
Ludacris, Talib Kweli, Mos Def, Bernie Mac, Jamie Foxx, and I can't remember the rest, but the album's a banger front to back. Not aside from the point. So they go through the first round, the 12 people, and they're asking them all this. Do you know any reason that you couldn't be? Do you know this motherfucker? Do you know this motherfucker's mama? Do you know the cop that's about to come in here and testify? All of them are just like, it's a bunch. Some of them are just like, I do know people that are in law enforcement, and I myself used to be in law enforcement, but no, there is no way that will unbias me. And I'm just sitting there going like, this motherfucker going to jail, dog.
Unbias?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not going to unbias me.
There's so many people up there. And this is shitty because I don't look much different than a lot of these people, but I just look at them, I go, Lord, he going to jail. Because it's supposed to be a jury of your peers. Let me tell you something. There's only five black people around where I'm from, and all five of them was on trial there that day. I seen all five of them, and they were in the courthouse, but not coming there to do what I did. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
they go through that with two panels, and I'm like, okay. So they go through that with two panels, 24 people, and I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm out. And then they're like, all right, the third panel. And I was the 12th motherfucker called. So I'm like, son of a bitch. So I get up there, and this one dude, they asked her, is there any reason why you think that you won't be able to give proper judgment?
Who was this person?
This was the assistant district attorney for Georgia, right? White guy.
Were defense lawyers present yet?
Yeah, the defense lawyers, yes, they were present, and the defendant was present. And they'd already said it was Michael Jackson, whatever. And I actually knew the lawyer. I didn't know him personally, but I do know people he's represented, and I knew if they get to that question, I can, because they ask you that. They're like, do you know anybody that Mr. Levitt has represented? And I do. He's represented Wade Cardwell. And I'm certain that as soon as I said that shit out loud and he knew that I knew Wade, he'd be like, get this motherfucker the fuck out of here.
The dog molestation case of the century.
So,
hell, Judge, I know it was consensual. He looked me right in my eyes and he wanted me to do it.
I gave him a fig Newton hail.
So So they asked, is there any reason why you think that you won't be able to perform your duties here? And the guy beside me raises his hand and they're like, approach the bench. Now, he's not talking loud. The people in the crowd can't hear him, but I'm like right there, so I can. And he's telling this person, he's like, I can't do this based on for religious reasons. And the judge was like, what type of religion are you? And he's like, I'm Christian. And the judge is like, well, why couldn't you do this then? He goes, well, I just think that only God can judge, you know? And the judge was just like, I mean, everybody here Christian.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean? It was like, which we prefer like, y'all, in fact. We find you to be particularly a judgmental people. In my experience. Yeah.
And the judge, to quote Kanye again, we don't want to hear that weak shit no more. So he was like,
throw your motherfucking hands.
So he was just like, yeah, that's not good enough. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, I thought to myself, I'm like, Corey, you don't have to lie to get out of this. You can tell the actual truth and you will get out of this. And you don't have to feel bad like you cheated the system. If you go up there and you tell the actual truth, they're going to fucking let you go. He was on trial for possession of narcotics pills with intent to sell and having a firearm on him during the committing of a felony. He didn't shoot nobody. He just had it on him, and he had some pills, and they said he was trying
what
to sell
was the
these
felony?
Pills.
Selling the pills, okay.
Selling the pills, yeah. Possession with intent to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, Corey, you know how to get out. So I said, yeah, I'd like to approach. And they were like, all right up here, Mr. Forster. And they said, why will you not be able to perform your duties? And I said, well, first off, Your Honor, if I may, don't get me wrong, I have seen how pills have ravaged our neighborhood and our country. I'm not for them. That being said, I genuinely do think that pretty much all drugs need to be regulated and legal, because I think that the real bad shit happens when they're illegal and we have, you know, drug crimes and there's people getting murdered over them. And like, this is how fentanyl gets in them and shit. But if they were actually regulated, we could all get them. Number one, we could tax them. Yeah, I'm saying all this shit. And he's just looking at me like, mm-hmm. And I go, and number two, I just can't in moral conscience send a black man to prison. I said, and I know you're not going to want to hear this. I know this is not a popular opinion, but I just believe that statistically, they are more disenfranchised and they are more fucked and railroaded by the system. And frankly, even if all the evidence points to he did this thing, I don't care. And I'm going to say not guilty. And the fucking defense was just like, please let this motherfucker stay. You know what I mean?
Well, that-
and the district attorney, they look at the district attorney and they were just like, get him out of here. Get him the fuck out of here. And so the judge just looked at me and grinned, but it was a shitty grin, like, you fucking piece of shit. And he's like, Mr. Forster, you can go home. So I got to go home. And again, I really do believe that shit. So like, I didn't lie. I just,
well, I'm glad,
you know,
I'm glad this happened, because I've always been very curious about this exact thing, because I've always also had the same plan, because I wouldn't be lying either. You know, I get up there and talk about fucking the system is rigged and it's all bullshit and fucking, you know, seize the means of production and rise of the proletariat and drugs should be legal and all that, you know, all that shit, which I really do. I'd always planned on throwing all that at them too, because it's also the truth for me. And I've always wondered, because that's like a thing you're generally aware of happening. And I've always wondered like how it would actually go down. One of the things I've always wondered, you just alluded to it, is I get that a prosecutor would hear all that shit and be like, they got to go. But I feel like the defense would hear all that shit and be like, he my number one draft pick. I need him to be in here for sure.
And I
have no idea how that actually works, Drew. Like, they can't.
Yeah, that's how I wanted to ask, too.
You get it kicked. They kick people out only. They can't claim people. Like, they can't. Like, the defense can't be like, him. I want him first and foremost. He's my pick. Like, how's it actually work?
Different jurisdictions have different numbers. In Florida, it was three. You had three challenges. As I recall, it was the same in Tennessee. So both the prosecutor and the defense can kick three people off the jury. Okay. The judge can,
like a red flag?
Yes. The judge can kick an any number of people off the jury. I know that in some jurisdictions, it's one challenge apiece.
All right. So you can't, it only works in the negative. You can't pick a person. You can only like,
yes.
You can't pick a person. Right. You can only
nobody would lose a trial. Nobody would ever lose a trial.
Right.
Especially if you could pick from the 300, one would ever lose a trial. But I guess picking from, cause the way it works is the rest of the 60 were still around. You got replaced by somebody from that 60.
I assume as soon as that motherfucker told me I could leave, I left. So I don't even know what's going on.
I know
on
that's
right
what
now
happened. But yeah. First of all, you should have stayed on the goddamn jury and just done all those things you said you were going to do. But more importantly, I'm more disappointed that you didn't make the prosecutor use that challenge. Like, had you hung around, the prosecutor would have started asking questions when they impanel the jury. And that's what the process you were going through was. He didn't have to waste a challenge on you, it sounds like. It sounds like the judge was just like, all right. But hopefully, that conversation among the four of you, the judge counted that, since the prosecutor was going, no. Maybe the judge counted that as one of his challenges and somebody slipped under the radar. I have a dream. Oh, my God. My biggest dream is to get on a jury in a drug case. I can't lie, because if I got found out, I'd be held in contempt.
Well, see, that's I really do believe all this shit.
Sure, but that's literally not a reason that you shouldn't be. Yes, if they find out, but I don't. That's the thing. What I'm saying is, like, it just depends on when you're filling out those paperwork. Like, did it ask you what your job is, or to list your last three jobs as an example for it?
Me, it just said what's your job. And I put entertainer.
Like, I think I could hide it without lying or whatever, and then it would depend on if the prosecutor asked me questions. I can't lie to the prosecutor, but I don't have to volunteer any information. And that's what I was, I guess, getting at a minute ago, is like, I know you believe all that, but the question was, is there any reason you shouldn't be on this jury? Well, in my heart, for me, fact that I'm about to vote not guilty is the reason I want to be on this jury. There is no reason I can't.
One of the questions, though, too, and I forgot and I didn't lump this all together, but one of the questions, too, was, is there any way that you could find yourself being sympathetic towards this person that would sway your judgment? And I was like, yes. Like, I genuinely don't want people selling pills. I don't.
On the paperwork, you wrote that.
No. This was asked to all the jurors, and all I had to do was answer the first. Like, I was already out before I even got to this part. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I was also going to say, listen, I don't want pills in my neighborhood, but if you're talking about sympathy, yes, I sympathize with a black man in this area of the country who feels the need that he has to have a side hustle. And I don't know this guy's story, but it's possible. It was just one, like, so when they go on there, the assistant district attorney, there's the, do you feel that you can be unbiased or whatever, to which I responded, no, what yada, yada, yada. Do you know
is
any of these
people? Is
this
verbal or on the paperwork?
Verbal. The paperwork was off. The paperwork was the thing that I filled out. I'm a liberal atheist, and if this shit's about weed, that motherfucker's going home.
You would not have gotten paneled, I don't think. I think that this district attorney was going to get rid of you, period. You certainly made sure with that, you know, performance. But like, so what the district attorney is allowed to do is ask a certain number of questions designed to figure it out. Now, the fucking defense attorney, if they're smart, is listening to those questions too, because that question, do you feel any sympathy? He wants to hear if somebody goes, fuck no, you know, it's out the door that's my challenge.
What's funny is nobody said fuck no, but dude, if you know reading faces 101, like, there were so many old boys up there that, like, and again, maybe this is because I was like looking for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went in there with like a chip on my shoulder of like, man, everybody around here just wants this fucking black guy to go. But like, I swear to you, when they got to that part, everybody just looked at the black kid and was like, I got this. And then there were so many people. We do need to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a quick break and then keep going.
There were so many people on all three panels that they asked them, they're like, do you know anybody in law enforcement, or have you ever worked in law enforcement? And like, bruh, like, at least I'd say 35 to 40% on all three panels answered in the affirmative that they either were married to somebody that was in law enforcement, used to work in law enforcement themselves, or was like really super good buddies with cops. And every they asked them, they go, well, okay, well, we're going to have cops come up here and give their testimony. Do you think that your relationship with police is going to make you give more credence to their testimony than it would anybody else? And all of them were just with a straight face, just like, no, why would I do that? Why would I do that?
Whose questions were those?
So the ADA would ask it. The ADA asked it first. And then once he got through with his whole thing, then the defense attorney came back up and asked, cross-examined the jury. He asked the same questions, basically, but you could tell. And it's funny because I never knew that this was a thing. Like, before the trial, these motherfuckers be approaching the bench. Obviously, you know this. Like, I've only ever seen, when we watch shows, they don't ever show the fucking jury selection. You know, it's just straight to the show. But, like, the way this defense attorney, I know he's slick because he represented Michael Alfano a bunch. I know he's slick. And I'm watching him before I get called to the panel. And, dude, it was a masterclass. Like, I don't even know shit about lawyering, but I know shit about talking to people and trying to get people to like you and be on your side. Never seen anybody, without coming across as stupid, relate to the jurors more. Like, the ADA was just this fucking babyface schmuck who everybody there, even though most of those people were probably morally on his side, wanted to punch in the goddamn face. The defense attorney was fucking slick, sweet. So he would come back and ask those same questions, but he would word them just a little bit different to try to get some shit out of you and stuff, right? And then, like, every time he would ask something, the ADA would be like, Your Honor, I would like to approach. And the fucking defense attorney would grin like, I figured you was going to say that shit. They'd go up there and huddle. Then the judge would be like, after reviewing the play, call on the field stands. Ask that shit, Walter.
Is his name Walter? So,
no, I thought it would hit.
They're literally lawyer name.
I had a lawyer named Walter Moffitt. That's why I said that.
There literally were no black people in this whole process, like the jury process, the panels.
One.
I know this is such a stupid question because it's like, wait, you mean the system is like biased and rigged and inherently fucked up? But like the whole jury of your peers thing, there's no kind of like even ostensible requirement for meeting that, Drew, in reality, meaning like
that's not any kind of issue.
Like, yeah, right.
If no, you get quite the opposite.
A black guy on trial and you have 12 white jurors, that's just totally, again, I get that happens all the time, but like,
there's some,
especially
totally
here,
above board. Yeah, right.
Well, there's some case law about it, and I think some people have tried to argue it. As far as I know, they've always failed. There may be some newer cases, you know, I haven't practiced in a long time. The sort of prevailing case as it relates to that kind of went the opposite way, where it became a defense lawyer appealed, basically saying at jury selection, the DA was getting rid of minorities based on nothing but the color of their skin.
Yeah.
And
right.
That should be, because
that happened
the
in
rules.
OJ trial.
Right. So like that, if you can prove or convince a judge that that's happening, that's a no-no. But you think about it, it's a double-edged sword because then you couldn't make the argument, give me a black up here. It's like, wait a minute. You just said we can't do that. You know, you're wanting goose gander kind of argument. You know, the idea of a peer in the eyes of the law, there's not a whole lot of case law, as far as I know, defining it. But, yeah, it doesn't matter if somebody's poorer than you or richer than you. It doesn't mean peer the way that you and I mean it. Like, you know, our peers are comedians. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think my dad is my peer, if that makes sense. Like, he's just had a very different life than me. But we do come from the same community. He would absolutely end up on a jury if I were arrested. And, you know, not literally because he's my father. Obviously, they would get rid of him for that. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, that's not – that word peer is a legal term of art, I guess, in this case. So, no, that's a long-winded answer. Welcome to the law of saying, no, that's above board. Yeah.
Well, you responded
because you put yourself in
the way you responded to this earlier was something I never thought about at all, but it makes all the sense in the world. Yeah, I did, like in my head. So I've only ever had one experience with jury duty. It's when I lived in Los Angeles. I made it to like the age of 34 or 35 without ever getting called at all. And then I got called and it was like, I'm pretty sure it was our very first weekend back on the road, I think. And I'd never been called. So I was freaking out. I was like, fuck, I got a thing. Are they going to let me offer this? Called a number or whatever. And they were like, yeah, that's fine. But going back to one of your first points, Corey, at least in LA, they pretty much made it known, like, yeah, okay, but we're going to be calling you back very soon. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, yeah, you can miss this but you're up. And like, sure enough, the very next cycle, like within 2 weeks or a month or whatever, I had a new summons or whatever it's called. And I didn't have anything to get out of it this time. This was pre-vaccines and shit, or like when vaccines were just becoming a thing, like COVID was still very much a thing.
Oh, so COVID was a thing though.
Yeah. And, people, I was talking to Katie about it, and she was on her mom's groups and community groups and stuff. And like the word on the street was people like in LA were like, oh, don't even try to get out of it. Do it now. Like now's the time to do it because all this COVID shit's going on or whatever. It's like you in all likelihood, you won't have to do nothing. I'm too law and court dumb to understand exactly what was going on there. But all I know is I didn't even try to get out of it the second time. I like signed up officially. And the way it worked for me was every morning I had to wake up and call this phone number, right? Or maybe it was check a website, either or one of the two. I had to check it every morning, and it was like being on call. And it would say, you know, it would say, like, you got to come in today and do this. And I was on call for a full, like, business week. So 5 days, Monday through Friday. And I checked it every day, and I never got called. So I never even had to leave my house or do nothing. And then my jury duty was served. So that's how I got out of it.
Did you get a check?
Real lucky with it. No, because I never actually went in or whatever, but I've like fulfilled my obligation. So that's as far as I ever got into any of it. But I'm not going to lie. I always just looked at jury duty the way I feel like most people look at jury duty, which is like, well, that don't hit. I don't want to.
No, don't hit.
I got, you know, I got shit to do in my life or whatever. And that's just like an obligation that everybody hates jury. That don't hit for nobody, you know, and if you can get out of it, get out of it. And I literally had never even thought about it from the perspective of how Drew first responded to you earlier, where he was like, no, you know, like juries need queers like you on them, Corey.
Yeah.
No, that's like, it's like, it's not, instead of it just being like a thing, it's like society makes us do this bullshit. This fucking sucks. Government making me do this. It's like an opportunity to like participate in a meaningful way and push back and whatever else. But I was always very much of the mind, I got to get out of that at all costs as well.
Of course,
without even thinking about it. But I do hear you though, Drew. It makes sense. It seems like the only people that would be totally on board with it would be all the cop loving papaws and stuff of the world, which that can't hit for anybody.
Well, I got called when we went back on the road, but it was for the civil side, and I had no interest in doing that. Just because it,
like a divorce very, or something
with the, yeah, it could be that, well, there's rarely a trial, more like, you know, an insurance trial, and they wanted a jury instead of the judge for a variety of reasons. And other than like a narrow type of cases, there would be no way to be subversive, you know, plus I genuinely was on the road and I kicked it down the road and they were like, all right, we're going to call this time. And either I didn't get my mail forwarded the right way because I had been home for that month, or they didn't put me back at the top of this. It's very possible I have a warrant right now for my arrest for not doing jury duty, which I don't give a fuck about. But I'll never make it to a jury. I don't think Corey would have made it past the DA's challenges. It's difficult. Right. I know an attorney I used to work with who left being a public defender because it wasn't allowing him to be hardcore enough and went to work for the Lawyers Guild, which is like the ACLU turned up to a million.
Oh,
this guy ruled. And,
yeah, no, that sounds great. I just way above my pay grade and sounds hard and horrible.
Well, he got on jury duty. He told us a story when he was an intern at the public defenders. And the questionnaire was like, what do you do for a living? He wrote student, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, where do you go to school? He just said the name. He didn't say Rutgers Law. He just said Rutgers. Made it through all that, got on the jury, and he says that he absolutely was going to sabotage that case. Nice. And he didn't have to. He kind of did it, but it was a situation where basically, this guy was using his mother's address to pull off some kind of fraud thing. And his defense was like, I can't remember the exact details, but his defense was basically like, this was an accident. Like, I didn't mean to defraud this company. And it had something to do with mail. And he just said he went into the jury room and just kind of started asking questions like, yeah, you know it looks bad. I'm just curious, though. What if this? What if that? And eventually this one dude came up with this whole theory that he's like, you know how – this is back when Netflix mailed DVDs. You know how you get a DVD in the mail and then you fill it – you send it back in and then they tell you they sent you another one on your list but you never got it? And then they're like, you owe us money, and you're like, I never got it. And then it's like, he's like, this is just like that. This is just like when Netflix thinks they've sent you a thing in the mail, but they didn't. And what he said was everyone liked the guy's mom so much, who was his alibi witness, who was like, he couldn't have done this because of this and that, that they just gave him a not guilty. So yeah. My point is, like, once you get in that jury room, there's no judge. There's no one. It's just you and them. All you got to do is convince a few other humans, hey, man, I don't think this guy did it. Here's why. And first of all, you can vote not guilty and be a hung jury and you're fine. But if you convince three, it's over. The rest of them will roll. They'll want to go home. What's the harm, guys? Listen, three of us think he didn't do it. You say you're sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, but we're not. Let's just go home. Don't y'all want to go home?
Right. Yeah. What happens if it's not a murder or something, obviously.
What happens with a hung jury is that they have to start over. But
the whole trial, they start the whole thing over with a brand new jury and they have to re-argue their cases, a new judge and all that. Damn.
Yeah, but
that's a whole thing right there.
Right. And a lot of times, depending on the charge, it just won't happen.
I feel like
the DA will not pursue it again.
I feel like with an insurance case, it would be the complete opposite. Whereas, like, you know, young black man sitting here, there's a group of old boys, 12 old boys up there. They're just like, I know what's about to happen. But if those same 12 old boys, if it was a human being versus an insurance company, they'd all be like, all right, we're going to fuck the insurance company, right? Like, I feel like that's what would happen. Am I wrong?
Maybe, but the insurance company's lawyer would be so fucking slick.
Yeah, right.
And so fucking personable. And what he or she or they would argue, and if they're they, they'd keep that quiet, would argue would basically be, right and wrong, morals.
Right.
Look, you know, what happened is difficult, but, you know, they're trying to get a windfall here because of this or that. And that's the thing those old boys hate is anybody trying to cheat the system.
Yeah, that is true. But either way, I didn't have to do it. So
yeah, well, and I'm glad to know someone personally who actually did that. Because, like I said, I always had always been generally aware that was sort of a thing, and in my head, I'd always been like, "That's what'll happen to me if I ever get in that position." But now, knowing somebody that literally actually happened to, because, like I said, I also always wondered, like, well, it's not like they're not hip to that shit. Do you know what I mean? Like that, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to be fooling anybody or nothing. But that still don't mean they don't want your, you know.
I was about to say they can see
right through you, but they still don't want you around or whatever. But
I don't think they did. There was nothing to see through because I told the truth. But like where I am, like I don't think anybody where I'm from that didn't believe the things that I believe would have lied and said that they did.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like no old boy's going to go up there and say all those things just to get out of jury duty because like that'll get your ass whipped. You know what I mean? Like I'm certain that when I left, there were some people that were like, can you fucking believe this piece of shit? You know, so on my way out, I felt a grab on my arm and I looked over and it was my friend, Lindsay, who I went to school with, and she's like, are you up there coughing shit? And I was like, oh, man, hey, Lindsay, how you doing? And I had to leave, and I was like, man, I didn't hear her called for jury duty, and I came home and told my wife, and she's like, yeah, she's a lawyer. And I looked it up, and she's also an assistant district attorney who was just there watching her friends. So she saw what I did and was just like, that's him right there. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, the question is, do any of these beliefs make it to where you don't think you can be fair or impartial? And it sounds like what you're saying is my honest answer is like, yeah, because even if I think this guy did it, fuck y'all. And that is something that I think the prosecutor would have figured out based upon your answers. You wrote liberal atheist on there. There have been a few things where I think you said it was a he would have, you know, I think he would have challenged you, period.
Right.
For me and for everyone listening, like if you're not that hardcore, I'm not going to volunteer that particular part of it. But I mean this, like for anyone listening, if you get called into criminal jury duty and you're a raging liberal in the middle of red rural America, don't lie, you know, but don't volunteer anything. Like they deserve to have you as a juror, you know, if you have nothing else going on, especially. Someone who might actually believe a cop might lie should be on that jury.
Yeah, sure.
Not necessarily someone who thinks all cops do is lie, but the reason I think that is I heard them do it. But like,
yeah, right.
We need people in the jury who has it within their realm of possibility, subconsciously and consciously, that cops lie, and they do it all the time. I mean, and if you get them alone, they'll admit to it, because a lot of times the police's sort of mentality about that is like, look, dude, I had a rough week. I arrested 40 people. I have no fucking clue what happened last Tuesday at 8 p.m. I was about off work, which is why I didn't write the report then. I wrote the report on Friday, and I said that that's definitely what happened because my friend who I trust, who's my brother, told me that's what happened. I'd never admit that part in court because I know it would get it thrown out, because you lawyers like to trick us without even without realizing you're admitting to
malpractice and
lying. Because you're claiming that you remember this thing that you don't. So like, yeah, we need people like that on juries.
I'm not a hero then.
No, definitely not. No.
But should've stayed.
Well, I don't think you would have. If it makes you feel any better. I hope he got rid of a challenge on you. I hope that the judge counted that. But, like, I don't think there was any way you were staying on that jury based upon your written answers, man. I think that he'd have got – like, just – there just was no one else. It had been you and the black girl, and he had one left. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a black dude. And he was the one black dude out of the whole, like, 300 in the pre-selection thing. Like, literally just one dude. He was, like, 60 years old, very Carlton-y vibes. You know what I mean?
Defense might not have wanted him, homie.
Yeah, right. No, for sure. But like what I'm saying is like what we were talking about earlier with like the, is it possible to even have a jury of your peers in where I'm from? You know, like there are black people that live here, obviously, like in Georgia. Walker County is not the place where a ton of them live, you know, granted, but like, how, and you may not know this because it wasn't your fucking job to know this, but like how randomized is the jury selection process? Because again, it was 299 white folks and one black dude.
Now it should be all automated through a computer, even in a town as small as yours, because it wouldn't be hard to do, I would imagine. Back in the day, I'm not sure how they did it. It's meant to be completely random.
Right.
And jury
if so, then
is,
you can't, it's not like it's anybody's fault. It's like, look, there's no black people here. I don't know what to tell you.
Right. I mean, that's what I was saying about the peer thing being sort of.
Well, isn't there like, Drew, isn't like a change of venue or something like that? I'm literally getting this from fucking John Grisham novels that I used to read, but like a change of venue to combat this exact thing.
Racial demographics.
Okay. But
the change of venue is more like if I got, let me think of, if you got arrested in Salina, dude, and I was your lawyer, like you went back home to see your meemaw and you got arrested. Like they arrest you on a town square because you was, let me make you the hero. You was defending somebody who was getting, you know, whatever by the cops. I would have a pretty decent argument. Hey, this guy's infamous here.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. There's no way anyone in this county doesn't know who the only guy who's been on The View from this county is.
Right.
And they're biased toward him, most likely. Now, the fact that you know somebody doesn't automatically make you out. It's like, especially in a small town. You know, it's like, hey, do you know who this guy is? Yeah, we had two classes together. Does that mean that you can't? No, it doesn't. Versus like, you know, yeah, we used to fuck. Well, all right, you're out probably. Well,
I did used to fuck a lady that was there.
I would argue, congratulations, I would argue Thank that you. You would need a change of venue whether or not I'd get it, I don't know. But you would need to change a venue in that situation, Trey, because everyone right. has an opinion about your public persona, right. and so they will not be able to divorce it.
Right.
Right. But then yeah, you think about, like, what if, like, the Johnny Depp case. Well, fucking, you know, he's not Salina famous. Everyone knows who right. Johnny Depp is. So the right. judge is going to have a lot of leeway of being able to – I mean, the judge may tell me to go fuck myself. Be like, look, I think – I get it. You think your friend's famous because he's on Facebook, but I don't even got book face, you know, so mm-hmm. fuck that. Yeah, we're doing
right.
it.
Right.
But that's what change of venue's for, generally speaking. There's a few other things. Change of venue in a company case, like imagine a company town, you know. Fuck, judge, everybody here works for the goddamn plant, and I'm suing.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay.
Judge might work for the plant. You still might be fucked.
Yep.
I'd say the judge probably in some capacity works for the plant.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the pay for the pay to prison scandal to me was the most openly shameful. And this is saying a lot, openly shameful thing that's come out by the justice system. And you think about how horrific our justice system is. At least in the last 20 years. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, first of all, that's a shame. It should have been huge news. There were two judges in Pennsylvania who got arrested.
What was this called again?
I think they were calling it the pay for prison scandal.
Ah.
But judges were putting children, mm-hmm. children behind bars at a child detention facility. They were literally being paid to do it. They were
getting kickbacks. This happened in Tennessee too, didn't it?
Of the facility.
Wasn't there a judge in Tennessee?
That was a slightly different scenario, but long story short, yes. I think her husband worked.
Yeah.
It was like, me and Mark talked about it. It was still horrific.
Yeah. That's real fucked up.
That one was pretty rough. I think I came on and talked on Skews about that.
All right. Well, maybe we can take another break real quick.
And have me back.
Talking about some
different
shit.
Yeah, let's take a break because that's all I got to say about court.
All right, we're back. This is just, you know, this topical stuff here. So today's Cyber Monday, right? Black Friday was Friday.
Oh, right.
And I feel like I know exactly what Drew would say about both and me too. And I Corey, I don't expect either of those things to like necessarily hit for you, but I feel like you're.
I know it's, yeah.
I feel like your family, you know. The world that you occupy or whatever seems like it would be one that would engage with these activities. Meaning
you would think
rampant consumerism, the shopping, the Black Friday, the finding deals and shit. Katie's like finding a deal is like fucking fentanyl mm-hmm. for her. Right. But she's gotten more, it ain't nearly like it used to be. I mean, she used to get up at like 3 a.m. on Black Friday
you
and
hit
all
now.
That shit. And she hasn't done that in years. She don't fuck with Cyber Monday or whatever. So she's kind of out of the game. But like, I always had nothing but contempt for those events and processes. But I was just wondering how things are over there on your side of the fence.
This ain't going to go the way you thought it was going to go, surprisingly. Because number one, now my sister gets into it, but she's not like Katie in the sense that getting a deal gives her a rush. It's just that like my sister does want to get everybody something for Christmas and my sister is broke. She wouldn't mind me saying that. So like that is just genuinely a good day for her to like, I can get stuff that I otherwise wouldn't have been able to get at this price and blah, 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 blah. My wife, not a big fan. Like we've been in Iowa for the past several Thanksgivings and she went Black Friday shopping this year, but they didn't get up at the butt fuck of dawn. And they actually only went to one store and it was just like, they went to get some deals on some Bath and Body Works candles. Cause like, hey, we're right here anyways. And my mama is too bougie for that shit. Like she back in the day, she had to pay full price or you know what I mean? Like she's not doing that. Like my mom would love a deal, but she's not wanting a deal so much that she's going to get up and deal with all the regular people that are out there getting the deals. Now that Cyber Monday is a thing, I actually don't know. They probably are actually all doing that and I just wouldn't know about it. But no, surprisingly, no one in my family actually makes a really big deal about it. The two, like, I don't like my mom, she does like all her Christmas shopping just throughout the year. because she's smart like that. Like if she, if it's March and she sees something that she thinks I would like or dad would like, she just go ahead and get it and then like put it away. And Amber does that shit too. Me and my dad are like the seasonal Christmas shoppers. Like me and him, we've always gone Christmas Eve and gotten all our shit done, which I know that that's not Black Friday. That's a whole different thing. But like, no, as well, white as my mama, sister, and Amber is, nah.
Well, I was about to then segue into just shopping in general. Like, you shopping hits for you? It seems like shopping hits for you.
I love it. I love it way more, like, right. way more than Amber. Like, Amber likes to get stuff, but, like, she doesn't really... Amber don't be liking to move or do anything. And, like, yeah, I do different type of shopping. Like, I'm not somebody that just, like, loves going to retail stores and doing all that. I like going to antique shops and, like, comic book stores. But, like, you know, I still got to count it because, like, I am, you know, shopping. But, like, yeah, like, I go to antique. Like, on my birthday this year, that's what I have requested from my family, is that we spend the day antiquing together. And then my mom makes a meal and I watch a Pixar movie with Laura James. Like, that's my ideal boom, 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 1, 2, 3 day. So, yeah, I'm definitely the queer shopper in the family.
Right. Yeah. I've always, like, from literally since when I was a kid, like, you know, shopping was pretty rare. I don't know. Maybe my mom would, you know, sell another big gang of pills or something and be able to go shopping every now and then with me and my sister, because it did happen in, you know, trash places and whatnot. But I always hated it so much even then. I just don't have the, like, just everything about it, I cannot stand.
Well, why would you, especially dude? You didn't have no money. I don't even mean that as a joke.
Yeah, but even like now, I don't like, there's people about. It's like,
yeah. That part. Well,
now you have money. Like Black Friday, yeah. My mama was a Black Friday queen, especially when she was in school before she started her job. My mama didn't become a teacher until she was like 37. So we were one. Yeah. So we were a one income. Oh, yeah. She's the best. We were a one income working class family. That's who Black Friday is for. Mothers. Sure. I mean, there are people who are addicted to shopping who like it because they love the deal. And my mom would get thrills out of it too. But what drove my mom genuinely was that my mom loved her family more than anything in the world. And she wanted us to have a good Christmas. And it's that weird pressure. You felt it from a different end, I would imagine, Trey, where you come back from Christmas break and people are talking about the video game they got what or they showing got, off their clothes and, you know, you probably didn't have that or whatever. My mom wanted me to be able to do that, but like we didn't have money for it unless, you know, she was getting them deals. And then she transferred that to a certain extent to her grandkids. And she likes to like help Lindsay, you know, they'll make a plan and she does dig all that. I'm not going to lie, but it's born out of, at least in her mind and a lot of people's minds, I think necessity, which is weird and gross. Like it's
it's horrible.
You're making money off these products. Clearly you're not losing money on Black Friday. So what the fuck are we doing here?
Well, it's but not that's even just the Black Friday that's gross of it. It's the whole goddamn, like the fact that, you know, suicide rates are higher during the Christmas season. And also regular deaths are higher during the Christmas season because I've heard, I know this because I have buddies that work at the funeral home and they've talked to EMTs and stuff. And that what they say is they go, if there's a dude or lady or whatever that is on the verge of a heart attack, the Christmas season will set it off. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's actually been brewing since March, but the Christmas season will set it off. And how completely, it's the same thing as Jesus, whereas like, it's actually the complete opposite of what it's supposed to be. Like, the Christmas season is supposed to be like, just family and fun and forgiveness and loving, and it's not. It's all, everyone during that time has this sense of dread of like, oh my God, am I getting the right gift? We live in a capitalistic society and it's just so that's what we do. But like the whole fucking thing is gross, not just Black Friday, just the sense that like everyone has that feeling of we're not going to be able to have a good Christmas unless I get Timmy this or unless I get this. And like nobody feels the way they ought during the season is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think it comes true for like if you've ever seen like the disappointment on an 8-year-old's face and they don't understand. And it's like, well, if we can't do it, we can't do it. But we can if I get there at 4 a.m,
yep.
I get in the line, I sprint to this part of the store, and like it's wild. I mean, it's one of the more rats in a cage,
right?
Yeah, people die.
Examples of the human experience. It's really weird, and it's got to be surreal. I would imagine it's surreal for people who can't even afford it, period. You know, it's got to be super surreal for people who move here from somewhere because we have like more food readily available and jobs that can, you know what I mean? Like, they're, like wherever they're from, it's really hard for them for a variety of reasons to even feed their family. And then to get here and experience or see that, even just a TV special on it, you know, it's like, wait a minute. That's what a Tickle Me Elmo, like that's what they're bleeding over. Like we were bleeding over bread. That's why I came here. But, you know, you can't, you can judge it. You should judge it to a certain extent, but it's so pervasive.
Well, I don't know. It also just,
it looks like Squid Game.
It feels like, the companies and the retailers and stuff, it just has this feeling of them just being like, there. Fucking fight over it. Fight over them.
What is this?
Make each other bleed for our profit, for our bottom line. And just, I don't know. This just the whole thing is like, it's just so, it's so American. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do have.
Andy worked a lot during the pandemic and she hated it. She was doing, anyway, she's trying to do like work from home stuff. So she started doing Rover and she also looked into like TaskRabbit type stuff. And someone was offering $1,000 and plus the cost of the toy if someone would go to some store and get some sort of Lego thing that I guess everyone's predicting they didn't make enough of.
Yeah.
And you can't help but wonder, like, did Lego do that on purpose?
Oh,
so that to, like, to up the price or whatever. And but $1,000. And that's the rich going, I will not participate in Black Friday because I don't need to. But I do need this toy, and there's no other way for me to get it unless I pay someone to go fight with the peasants for it. And they're like, that's like gross. But it, there's a part of me that's like, I kind of hope that rich kid don't get that fucking Lego thing. I know that's fucked up.
But no, like, no. I hear you. But like, it happens with like sneaker drops too. You know what I mean? Like they intentionally, or at least they'll like however many they made is obsolete. They will tell, they will let you know we only made so much. So if you don't fucking get here and like, yeah, it's gross. Like,
dude,
it's
you still
ridiculous.
Can't, and it's been two, I think, full years now, I think. And you still can't just go and PS5. Get a PlayStation 5 still. And it's like, it's manufactured. Mm. It's got to be at this point. It's like, because that demand, that exclusivity is good for them, but also like, so they'll do drops. But then these hackers and shit will program bots and whatever that get all the they drop like 150 at a certain time on a certain site, and the hacker program these bots to just get them all immediately. Then they turn around and scalp those to people for more than $1,000 markup, like you're talking about. And rich people will pay for them because you can get a, you know, a PlayStation that way. And it's just, yeah, it's predatory and horse shitty. And then there's like this is a different thing, but like Ticketmaster and ticket sales and scalping and all that shit and what's going on with that. And it's just, there's so many ways that consumerism is like just blatantly rigged to fuck people over, or just
that's my least favorite,
just to be shitty, you know what I mean?
What about
like just in the name of money and money?
Yeah, the Ford Bronco too.
If you had gotten on the list and got your Ford Bronco when the first two rounds came out, you could have sold it for double what you paid for it. Now, I think at first there was a chip shortage that was real. I think now it's very obvious that Ford's like, this is a specialized vehicle. We're not going to sell as many as we do of the F-150. We never are. But what we can do is keep it in the zeitgeist, you know, like
McRib.
It's wild. They haven't even done the next year. Like the Ford Bronco was re-released more than a year ago. There is not a new version of them yet. And it was one of the most successful releases of all time. There was literally back orders. So why not make more? Well, because this is a way to increase my margins on what I sell and make it almost as successful as the F-150. I guarantee you that when they do the next release of Ford Broncos, it's going to be $80,000 for a base level one because they've seen what people will pay.
Of course, right. Mm. They're like, yeah, but like, has Earl even got his yet?
No.
Yeah, right.
Not as far as I know. I haven't talked to him about it in like 2 months. I haven't seen or talked to Earl in like two months.
Would,
but
I know he don't have it, and here's how I know. He ain't sent none of us a goddamn pic. Yeah, exactly. Because, and that ain't being shitty to Earl, but he sent me the blueprints to his Bronco when he ordered that shit. So I know good and goddamn well if he'd got it, there'd be a picture with his big ass head, you know, wearing his fucking Oregon jersey, just like, wah. So yeah, that's crazy. Like that was 2 fucking years ago that he bought that shit.
And I almost put my name on the list because I had the money for the down payment at the time, and I talked myself out of it because of the monthly payment. And just, I felt like this is not who I am. I regret that. Because had I gotten it, I could have sold it and then, you know, with the fucking profit, got an old one and still had money.
Did they take all Earl's money or just a little bit?
No, you just have to put a deposit down.
Okay. I was about to say, because God damn, like they're holding on a lot of shit.
I'm pretty sure you can get it back if you bail, like, because they didn't meet. I don't know what the contract is, but I'm sure it was like, we'll get you your car in a year. And if we don't, you can back out.
Yeah, right. Ugh. I still see him going down the road and I want one really bad, but I'm not going to go through that whole process. And like you said, there's no way that when they come back out, they're not going to be $100,000.
Dude, I saw a yellow 2-door the other day.
Yeah, they're pretty.
And I thought that was the one I would like the most, and I was right. You can get a 2-door easier because they're not as much demand for them, for obvious reasons. They look way better in my opinion, but you know, a 2-door SUV kind of suck.
Were you already in Austin?
Yeah, I did Austin like a week and a half ago.
How'd that go?
Because
I
went well
since then.
No, it went well. I had fun. I didn't, you know, there was like a few people showed up. I didn't push it real hard because I wasn't headlining. You know, I was getting paid regularly. I went to support Harrison. Our buddy Harrison Tweed. Yeah, he filmed that night and he recorded his album the next week. He's running his hour. His album will be out on Helium Records soon. You know, friend of the pod. Also, that's a segue, I guess, for me to announce something real quick. Me and Matt Hildreth, who does Skews with Trey and Mark, have a show called Forgotten Country that we are selling to terrestrial radio. We've already gotten it on 2 stations.
Nice.
It's a cool show. And we're trying to get syndication. There's a Kickstarter that I posted on my Twitter, but I'll post it everywhere soon once we really get up and moving. We're trying to raise some money to get a syndication specialist to help us sell this thing. There's an episode already out on Spotify. It's called Forgotten Country, like I said. You can also find it at yonlander.com. And it's super cool. What we're doing is we're taking themes and we're trying to support and promote real country music and good country music. And so we'll take a theme. Like nostalgia, and we'll play the Judds, and we'll play Waylon, but then we'll also play some of the new people that me and Matt like, you know, whether it's Sarah Shook or BJ Barham, you know, or whoever else, trying to draw a connection between what we now call Americana and what we used to call real country. And it's a really cool, fun show.
That's dope. That sounds fucking
so. If y'all listen, it's called Forgotten Country, he said. If y'all listen to or watch Country. Weekly Skews, that's producer Matt he's talking about. So maybe you can find out a little more about the man of mystery by checking that out. So yeah, since we're doing this, go to treycrowder.com, check out my tour dates. The three of us will all be at Zany's in Nashville the weekend before Christmas, as we are every year, December 15th through the 17th. Please come and see us. Those shows are always tremendous fun. And then I got plenty of other dates after that. Watch and listen to Weekly Skews with me and Smart Mark AG. Also putting on airs with me and Corey Forrester here talking about fancy shit. And if you want, if you're so inclined, you can go to patreon.com/Trey Crowder and check out my extra stuff I got going on. If you want to support your boy that way, that would be cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of putting on airs, I'll be seeing you real, real quick, buddy. Heading out on Wednesday to come bank a shit ton of episodes. And I'm super excited to do it. As for me, you can go to parttimefunnyman.com. That is my subscription service. I do essays. I do poetry. I do bonus podcasts. And I do a video series where I walk through the park and read plaques and try to connect all the dots of the Battle of Chickamauga in the Civil War. It's me, but it's narrated by Colonel Cornelius Cornbread. That is my alias. And we have a lot of fun over there. Like I said, parttimefunnyman.com. Please come see us at Zany's. Like Trey said, December 15th through the 17th. I personally am already preparing my liver because I know exactly how it's going to go. I say every year that it ain't going to go that way, and every year it goes that way. Mm-hmm. It do. So come and see us and celebrate the holiday season. And one more thing, if you don't mind, thank you all for listening to the Well Read Show. We'd love to stick around longer, but we got to go. Fuck me. Tune in next week if you got nothing to do.
Remix!
Thank you. God bless you. Good night and skew. I missed one goddamn week. Good Lord.